another 300 miles away in Oregon. Quite a difference, don't you think? Once more, one. And now the other. Regional dialects arise because young white-crowned sparrows may learn their song from birds other than their parents. Slight variations get copied until all the birds in that territory are singing the new version of the song. It's like the old game of telephone. The song changes bit by bit as it moves along. Listen to more dialects at birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann. BirdNote gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at BirdNote Radio.
Welcome, children, to Radio Earthaluia. There is something the information age cannot say. The crisis of the Earth is usually reported to us as numbers. A hurricane is a category number. A dramatic wind speed, a cost in the number of dead, and the number of billions of dollars. But we are on schedule to take much of the animal and plant world with us into premature death. Given the scale of this crisis, why isn't every kind of public voice engaged in telling this story? Where is the art of the comedians and singer-songwriters whose wizardry with words would silencing of our planet criers, the inability to shout emergency. There is a terrible emergency. Our houses are on fire. There's something the information age cannot say. The crisis of the Earth is usually reported to us as numbers. A hurricane has a category number, a dramatic wind speed, and a cost in the number of dead and the number of billions of dollars. And try it again, soul. Try it again. Try it again.
Oh, I lived in the forest.
Oh, the birds sang.
I lived in the tree.
And the birds sang.
Live in the forest.
Oh, the birds sang.
I lived in the tree.
And the birds sang.
I lived in the forest.
Oh, the birds sang.
I lived in the tree.
And the birds sang.
I lived in the forest.
Oh, the birds sang.
I lived in the tree.
And the birds sang.
We feel the extinction that's coming down. Why can't we feel it? Why don't we really believe it? Well, if you describe it in numbers don't communicate that ultimate loneliness, the choir bird, that song that gives us the feeling of lost life.
Shake
this.
Shake. Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. In the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, insecurity and horrific sexual violence have left tens of thousands fleeing across borders, with no sign of the exodus stopping. Near the front lines, sexual violence and human rights abuses remain rampant, as is the looting and destruction of civilian homes and businesses, said Patrick Iba, Deputy Director of UNHCR's Division of International Protection. Close to 80,000 people have fled armed clashes between Congolese government forces and Rwanda-backed M23 rebels into neighboring countries, and some 61,000 have arrived in Burundi since January. A staggering 895 cases of rape were reported to humanitarian actors in the last 2 weeks of February alone, an average of more than 60 a day. The UNHCR official highlighted other risks faced by civilians, including the dangers posed by explosive remnants of war to children and farmers trying to tend their fields. The Israeli military has bombed and destroyed the Turkish-Palestinian Friendship Hospital in central Gaza, with Gaza's health ministry decrying the attack on the cancer treatment facility as a heinous crime. The hospital was empty when destroyed by Israeli bombing. The Israeli military confirmed a ground invasion of Rafah in southern Gaza is underway, and troops are pushing into the north near the town of Beit Lahia and central areas. Close to 600 Palestinians have been killed since Israel broke the Gaza ceasefire on Tuesday, including at least 200 children. According to deep analysis of census records that account for 90% of the Earth's human population, 40% of adults on Earth have never heard of climate change. Some, but not all, female white-necked Jacobin hummingbirds take on the brightly colored plumage worn by males. In a study published in Animal Behavior, a team of researchers has discovered the reason: they're mimicking males. That trickery results in reduced aggression from other hummingbirds and increased access to nectar resources. A new study published in Nature Climate Change reveals that the North Atlantic Oscillation, or NAO, could reach unprecedented magnitudes by the end of the century. The NAO is a large-scale atmospheric pressure seesaw in the North Atlantic and is a key driver of winter weather patterns in the UK, Western Europe, and Eastern United States. It is measured by the gradient between high pressure over the Azores and low pressure over Iceland, and controls the strength of the prevailing winds. The findings indicate that under a scenario with very high concentrations of greenhouse gases by the end of the century, the NAO will increase to levels never before seen, posing severe risks of impacts from extreme weather, such as flooding, high winds, and storm damage. The James Webb Space Telescope has captured its first direct images of carbon dioxide in a planet outside the solar system, in HR 8799, a multi-planet system 130 light-years away that has long been a key target for planet formation studies. The observations provide strong evidence that the system's four giant planets formed in much the same way as Jupiter and Saturn, by slowly building solid cores. Meanwhile, two different teams of astronomers have detected oxygen in the most distant known galaxy, JADES-GS-Z140. The discovery, reported in two separate studies, was made possible thanks to the Atacama Large Millimeter Submillimeter Array, or ALMA. Discovered last year, JADES-GS-Z140 is the most distant confirmed galaxy ever found. It is so far away, its light took 13.4 billion years to reach us, meaning we see it as it was when the universe was less than 300 million years old, about 2% of its present age. The new oxygen detection suggests the galaxy is much more chemically mature than expected. One scientist said, "It's like finding an adolescent where you would only expect babies." Male blue-lined octopuses paralyze females prior to mating to avoid being eaten in return. In a new study published in the journal Current Biology, researchers captured several octopus samples and studied their behavior and vital signs as they mated. Prior research has shown that some male octopuses have evolved a means to prevent being eaten by females when mating. One species has developed a sperm transfer arm to allow itself some distance during intercourse. In this new study, the research team focused their efforts on blue-lined octopuses. Female blue-lined octopuses are much larger than the males and have been known to eat their partners after copulation. Researchers captured several male and female specimens and observed them during mating. They found that the males bit the females in a way that slightly punctured the aorta, allowing entry of a small amount of poison. The poison, tetrodotoxin, the same poison used by pufferfish, paralyzed the female while the male copulated with her. His efforts continued until the female began to recover. The poison used by the male was made by bacteria that lived in its body. The female stopped breathing altogether after 8 minutes, not long enough to kill her, but long enough to be mounted. Her skin color also paled noticeably and her pupils constricted. All of the females tested were unable to respond to bright flashes of light or other stimuli. In short, all nerve control was lost. An exhaustive study found a 12% rise in circulation for the top 25 most banned books in the U.S. The study draws upon large-scale library circulation data from 38 states, focusing on the most commonly banned titles as identified by PEN America and the American Library Association. Governments, international bodies, and researchers rely on global population data for resource allocation and infrastructure planning, as well as disease epidemiology and disaster risk management. In a study published in Nature Communications, researchers show the profound and systematic extent to which these data sets underestimate rural population figures worldwide. The study provides evidence that a significant proportion of the rural population may be missing from global population data sets. Depending on the data set, rural populations have been underestimated by between 53% to 84%. A new study has discovered that birds in the Galapagos Islands are changing their behavior due to traffic noise, with those frequently exposed to vehicles showing heightened levels of aggression. Importantly, the effect of living on a roadside territory was present even on Floriana Island, with only about 10 vehicles present, suggesting even minimal experience of traffic affects responses to noise. Interestingly, Galapagos yellow warblers on the more populous island of Santa Cruz increased the duration of their song when confronted by traffic noise. Researchers in Japan have discovered that Daphne pseudomyzerium, commonly known as Onishibari, contains a substance inhibiting replication of human immunodeficiency virus, or HIV. The plants were cultivated at the medicinal plant garden at Toho University. The finding is expected to lead to the discovery of drug seeds for novel drugs with superior anti-HIV activity. And now, the sounds of extinction. The 2025 U.S. State of the Birds report reveals continued widespread declines in American bird populations across all mainland and marine habitats, with 229 species requiring urgent conservation action. The report comes 5 years after the landmark 2019 study that documented the loss of 3 billion birds in North America over just 50 years. Key findings from the report show that more than one-third of U.S. bird species are of high or moderate conservation concern, including 112 tipping point species that have lost more than 50% of their populations in the last 50 years. That includes 42 red alert species facing perilously low populations, such as Allen's hummingbird, tricolored blackbird, and salt marsh sparrow. Birds that are at risk without immediate intervention. The rapid declines in birds signal the intensifying stressors that wildlife and people alike are experiencing around the world because of habitat loss, environmental degradation, and extreme weather events. And now, a pause for silence in a world without birds.
I'd like to share a family story. We were having a kind of reunion, a memorial for my father, who passed away a few years ago. And I remember we were in this restaurant, we were drinking wine. It was later in the gathering, and I suddenly had a very unusual feeling. A man was hooking his chin on my collarbone and speaking directly into my ear, kind of making my earlobe wet. And he said, "Bill, I want to thank you for your influence on my life. Let me tell you a story. My parents were visiting your parents, and they were letting the kids run around, and I wandered down into the basement of your house, and I was standing in the doorway, and there you were. It was apparently your bedroom. And I remember that, Menominee, Wisconsin. I had the bedroom in the basement. And then you said to me, because it was kind of awkward, I didn't know what to say. I was only 5 or 6 years old, and you were like a teenager. But you were being very nice to me, and you said, let me show you my bird nest collection. Your bird nest collection. You took me back into the back rooms of this darkness of this basement, and you had all these old shelves back in there. You turned the lights on, and you gave me a whole presentation, like you were a docent in a museum or something. You said, now this nest, this is the Baltimore Oriole. It looks like a big bag, doesn't it? And now this is the American goldfinch. The goldfinches don't have their eggs until late in the summertime. So they're raising their chicks when everybody else is out of the nest. And here's the American robin, and on and on and on. You had a little tour for me, and I just remember being so, well, you know, I found myself being fascinated by the birds that you were talking about. And we went back to Texas, and I stayed fascinated. And I got a bird book, and then I got two or three bird books, and I started wandering around the backyard identifying birds. And this went on into high school. And in college, I took natural history and biology and ornithology, and then I graduated, and I got a graduate degree, and I kept going, and then I got a low-level job in the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA. And Bill, I worked there my whole life. My career. And I'm just about to retire. And here you are. Here you are sitting here remembering your father. And here I am remembering you. And I want to thank you. Well, now, so that was my cousin David, who chose to talk to me kind of from within my own mind, you know, from, he was embodying a memory by coming in over my shoulder like that. And I remember living in the basement for a while. I was kind of in exile from my family at that time. And now, of course, the EPA is being shut down, and I'm trying to get through to my cousin David on the phone. I'm trying to ask him how he must have, he's retired, I know, but I just know that he has friends there, people that he worked with for decades, probably, that are experiencing their sudden pink slip. I'm sorry the EPA is and all those protections that the natural world has in this country. I'm sorry about what's happening there, and I don't think we've lost that fight. We'll get the EPA back, David, if you hear this on the radio. We'll do it. For the birds. Earthaluya.
nice outside. It's a nice day. Oh, the birds, they're singing a sweet tune. No. There aren't any birds. No 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 birds. It's a silent spring, children.
Thank you. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Radio, Burnaby.